Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's always fun to have you on the show, and it's been a little bit, so I'm glad to be able to chat with you again. But for those maybe that may have missed you on the show before, can you explain just what it is that you do there at St. Peter's?
Sure. I'm a physician, and I serve as the chief medical officer at St. Peter's Health. And for this COVID response, I have been the incident commander for St. Peter's Health.
So your day really kind of started looking different about, I guess it's 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago. It feels like much longer than that.
It does. Things really changed early March as we realized that this isn't just your average virus, and it was time to really make some changes to make sure that we could flatten the curve. That phrase, flatten the curve, was becoming popular, and we were beginning to understand more and more that that was how we would prevent a surge that would exceed our capacity, that's how we would prevent many deaths, not necessarily stopping COVID, but stopping it from spreading so quickly that it would exceed capacity. And so flattening the curve became the name of the game, and that's really what we shifted to doing all day, every day. And we've been wildly successful here in Montana and in Lewis and Clark County in doing that.
Yeah, we've really done that. It's one of those strange strategies where we're saying, you know, we want to flatten this curve, but what we're saying is we want to make this thing last longer, which doesn't sound like it makes sense. But like you said, we wanted to make sure there wasn't just a sudden uptick in everybody storming the hospital.
That's exactly right. And it is concerning that it would last longer. And there are some experts that are now saying this could last for a couple of years even, but that we would only have onesie-twosie cases, little handfuls of cases. But we want to push it out so that we have enough testing, that we have processes down pat where we can contain it. Once we realize we have a positive case, we can trace and contain. And we want to hopefully push it out so that we have a vaccine to start protecting people. And so pushing it out longer does sound a little scary, I agree. But if you look at it in the context of the longer we push it out, the more resources we will have to stop it and protect people, it starts to make a little more sense.
Yeah. Dr. Shelley Harkins is our guest to start the show today. She's the chief medical officer out at St. Pete's. And as you said, we've been doing really well in terms of numbers of COVID cases here in the state, here in the county. How are things at St. Peter's right now?
Things are great at St. Peter's. We started ramping back up several weeks ago. We closed down a lot of services during the peak of COVID and realized that it was time to really reopen things. You know, the morbidity and mortality, the dangers of not providing healthcare services could exceed any morbidity and mortality that we were seeing from COVID if we didn't open up services pretty soon. So at St. Pete's, things are almost business as usual as far as the volume of patients. Our ER is back to almost normal. We're seeing just as much volume there as we ever did. Our inpatient setting is about as busy as it ever was. Our clinics are now at 75 to 100% capacity. And over the next 2 weeks, they will be at 100% capacity. Our operating room is back to normal as of this week. We even started doing our joint replacements, which were the last to be added back. So things are pretty close to normal, except, of course, when you look around, things do look a little different. We still have lots of safety measures in place, masking, social distancing, visitor restrictions. We're even doing car waiting rooms, parking lot waiting rooms, to avoid having very many people together in a lobby, for example. So the operations are a little different, but volume is about normal.
Do we still have the drive-through testing for the COVID-19? Is that still set up over there?
Yeah, we sure do. And we anticipate that will be there for a while. So for any community member with a provider order, you just drive right up to the yellow tent there, in behind the Broadway building, and we'll get you tested.
Test-wise, how many tests have we, I know I'm putting you on the spot with an actual number, but how many have we conducted? It's what, 36,000, 37,000 statewide. What are we seeing here in town?
You know, I can't tell you exactly how many. I haven't looked at that number in a couple of weeks, but I can tell you that the state has plans, we're really excited about it, for ramping up testing for just community members that are asymptomatic. And so over the course of this month, the state will be getting all the processes down and making sure that we know exactly how we're going to do it. But we will have what I consider mass testing in about 3 to 4 weeks, where community members that are asymptomatic will be able to get tested. And we will be randomly testing patients in our ER and in our clinics to get to 60,000 a month. That is the governor's goal. And I heard about the governor's plan a couple of weeks ago, really excited about it. It makes a lot of sense. And I do think that we will get to 60,000 a month relatively soon, which is extraordinary considering that all of the testing we've done to date, to your point, has only been 37,000. So we're going to double that essentially and do it every month moving forward. So we will have almost everybody in Montana tested over the course of several months. So this is really exciting news.
Dr. Shelley Harkins is our guest today. She's the chief medical officer out at St. Peter's Health. And we're getting ready to enter into phase two after the weekend. And it sounds like that, as far as what it looks like at St. Peter's, is almost, like you said, business as normal, or at least as normal as we can have right now.
That's exactly right. Our patient volume is almost normal. In the clinics, we're 75 to 100% normal volume. And in the hospital, our operating room, radiology, diagnostic imaging, those areas are pretty much normal. What's different is that we don't have as many visitors because we have visitor restrictions, and we're having people wait in their cars at some touch points to make sure that we can promote and maintain social distancing. And we're still screening everyone at the doors for symptoms and making sure everyone is masked. Hopefully that you will bring your own mask, but if you don't have one, we've got you covered, literally.
So it sounds like that stuff, even as you sort of open up to more business, more things happening there, we're going to keep with some of those restrictions, because I suppose you do still have to be on alert and ready for a spike in cases, something like what happened in Hamilton, where suddenly there's no cases and now there's 8.
Right. And that's how quickly it spreads. And we do have to watch for that. So every day we've got to be aware of what tests are positive, if there are any. Fortunately, we haven't had any of our preoperative patients, for example, test positive. We seem to be doing okay, but that will probably change. It is more likely than not that we will get a slight surge now that everybody is gathering again, out and about, driving. We've got people coming in from out of state now as of June 1st with the travel restrictions being lifted. So again, we were never trying to hide from this virus or keep it from ever coming. We were trying to give ourselves time to make sure that we could get on top of it quickly and have processes down so that in a matter of hours of finding a positive case, we could contain that. And we're there now. So we feel really confident about moving forward and getting back to business as usual and knowing that when we do have a positive case, we may even have a little surge, but it's not going to be anything that we can't handle.
Yeah. Is it tough having gone through so many days with no cases here at the hospital to be ready? I mean, I guess in a sense, like a goalie, you know, in hockey, every shot's getting stopped before it gets there. It's easy for him to sort of fall asleep and relax back there when all of a sudden shots start coming at him. Same thing could happen here. You could kind of just fall asleep a little bit and get relaxed, go into the old routine. Is it tough, or is your team there on the ball? I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we're criticizing your staff,
sure,
but I can see where it could be easy to sort of just fall into your old routine.
I could not agree more, and we've talked so much about that. I'm glad you brought that up. When you're on such high alert, and we've got incident command running hours with our TV screens all around, and we want some action. It was almost disappointing day after day after day when there was nothing. Certainly we were glad to have the success, but on the flip side, we were concerned that without the real-time practice, we might lose some of that. And so we've been very aware that that is a psychological problem, that's an issue. And so when we do our drills, we do them as if it's real. Okay, let's pretend it just happened. Move, go. And we expand the hospital, or we do a COVID code, or we move through the ER processes a little differently. So it's just drilling and doing those COVID-related codes as often as we can and very unexpectedly for the staff so that we do stay on our toes, recognizing that day after day, week after week, and now even maybe month after month, that number continues to be a zero, maybe a one, then a zero. It's really easy to just sit back and say, oh gosh, I can't think this way anymore. But that's our job, is to be ready and to give that community the confidence that no matter what happens, we are ready. And so we're throwing some curveballs at our staff here and there unexpectedly for that very reason.
Chief Medical Officer at St. Peter's Health, Dr. Shelley Harkins, with us this morning. We've got a few minutes left with her, and it sounds like things out there at St. Pete's starting to open up. Still have some things in place. People are being asked to wear masks. You've got the waiting room now in the parking lot for some things, so that's going to stay for a while. But as we get open again, any tips, any advice for listeners? As more things are open, as, like you said, people are coming in, we're out there enjoying the summer. Any tips, any best practices for us?
Absolutely. We really do encourage everyone to wear masks when out and about. And as the weather is getting hotter, that becomes really uncomfortable. And I get that. But the masks are very effective. Two reasons to wear a mask. One is that you're not spreading the virus. You can have COVID and not know it, not have any symptoms for many days and be spreading it to others. That's why this virus is so dangerous. But you're also not giving yourself the virus by touching your face. So as you're touching doorknobs and railings and your cell phone and you're picking up the virus, you then are not able to put it in your nose and put it in your mouth. It's a physical barrier for the virus. So those masks really are important. Continue to social distance. It has worked. We've proven that it has worked. So continue to do that. Just be aware when you're in stores, when you're around, that you're giving yourself that 6-foot distance. If you're vulnerable, if you have a lung disease, a heart disease, if you're elderly, stay home as much as possible. Just because the restrictions have been lifted doesn't mean we're any safer than we were. It just means we are more ready for it. But the virus is still out there. We still don't have a vaccine to protect yourself. Wash or sanitize doorknobs and railings. And if you've just touched a doorknob, for example, be aware that you just touched a doorknob that maybe 50 people have touched since the last time it was sanitized. So wash your hands, sanitize your hands. Just be smart. Be aware.
But it sounds like that we've got a doctor's note to go out and enjoy Montana in the summer still.
Yeah, we absolutely do. As long as you're aware and you're careful, you're washing your hands, wearing a mask as much as you can feel very confident to get out there and enjoy Montana. I know that my family and I are certainly doing that. We did it this past weekend, went down to Canyon Ferry Lake to our camper and grilled out, and we even invited a couple of people over. So enjoy Montana for sure.
Doctor, thanks for taking time with us this morning.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed being here as always.
Absolutely. We've got more Coffee Break coming up. We're going to touch base with Kelsey Kyle out at St. Peter's Health. That's coming up right after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break, and I'm Troy Shockley. I appreciate you hanging out with us this morning, and we're finishing this show today by talking with registered nurse Kelsey Kyle. We're focusing on maternal mental health, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so certainly a good time to take a few minutes to focus on that. Kelsey, thanks for chatting with us today.
Oh,
thank you for having me on the show this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you introduce yourself to listeners a little bit? Tell them the Kelsey Kyle story.
Yes. So I have been a registered nurse for 14 years, and more than half of my career I've spent working with moms, babies, and families in some realm. I've done all different types of nursing, both inpatient and outpatient. I've been working in Helena since 2010. And then my current role, I am a nurse care manager with the complex care team at St. Peter's Health Medical Group. And I work with patients across the lifespan. Many of them have complex medical needs. Some of them have social needs that we help support, and then also mental health needs. And a part of my population is working with pregnant moms, postpartum moms, and families.
Okay, so you've been at St. Peter's Health now since, you said, 2010?
I've been at St. Peter's Health for, let's see, 7 years. Three of those years I was at another clinic in town.
Okay, and so it sounds like your day-to-day job is pretty varied. I mean, my guess is that no one day really looks like another.
Correct. Yeah, it keeps me on my toes, and I never know what to expect, but it's always just amazing working with all of the patients and the people in our community.
We're chatting today with registered nurse Kelsey Kyle, and we're talking maternal mental health. At least we're about to. We haven't yet, but I promise we're going to. We've got her on the phone today, and as I mentioned, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. This is an area that it's incredibly important, and it can be tough to talk about because it's not necessarily comfortable for all of us, but talking about it really is important, isn't it?
It's very important. It makes such a difference in the lives of the mom, even, you know, dads, family members, and especially the baby as well, and the children.
Yeah, there's a stigma there that there really shouldn't be. I think it seems like it's getting less, but you're in that world all the time, and so I think you can probably give us a for sure answer here. There still is a stigma to some of this, isn't there?
Yes, there is, and I think the more that we talk about it, and the more that we just become comfortable with asking and checking in with moms and families in just a really compassionate way, to allow them to be open and honest with what might be going on. That's the best way to get somebody help, but also for moms and dads out there to realize that this is very common. So 1 in 7 women will experience a depression or anxiety episode during pregnancy or following pregnancy. And 1 in 10 dads experience this as well. So you're not alone. There's many, many other parents out there that have been in those same shoes.
Yeah, I think there's the thought that this is a rare thing. It doesn't really happen. But, we've heard about the mental health of a mother after she has the baby, you know, postpartum depression. It's absolutely real, and it's a very serious thing.
Yes, it definitely is. And talking about maternal mental health, kind of optimal maternal mental health would be that a mom, then, you know, her natural state of well-being, she's able to cope with the stressors of day-to-day life, feels like she's contributing to her community by using her talents, and really generally feels like herself. And this can go for dads, too. When you're not able to do those things, it can be really, really challenging. But it's also pretty common that some of these things shift because having a baby is an incredibly intense time. It's, you know, it's beautiful and amazing, but at the same time, this completely turns your world upside down. I don't think many people are prepared for the extent of sleep deprivation, a shift in their identity, and all of a sudden they're caring for this very demanding little human being that you never know when that little person needs something. And sometimes it is hard to care for yourself through that. But it does take It takes a community and a village and, you know, people just supporting each other. And really the first step is for people to talk about it and tell other people how they're really doing so that they can get some support.
We've got registered nurse Kelsey Kyle on the line today. She's moving in and out a little bit, but we still got her, and we're going to hang on to her as long as we can. We're talking maternal mental health, and this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. And something you mentioned, Kelsey, that I think maybe a lot of folks out there didn't realize is when we're talking mental health, maternal mental health, postpartum, dads are in that equation too.
Yes, absolutely. And if a mom has postpartum depression or anxiety, it also increases the chance that their partner will also develop that in turn. But it, you know, it definitely can affect dads too, because it's a huge, huge life change, and can be just a tough, you know, it can be a tough time and trying to shift what you're doing and get the support you need. And dads can also, you know, not only experience some kind of depressive symptoms or just feeling like their life is really different and grieving the fact that, you know, they enjoyed this life, this previous life, and moms that can experience that same thing too. That's pretty normal. But also, you know, a lot of worry and anxiety, and you have this like fragile little human that you absolutely love, and it's pretty normal to worry about your child, but when worry becomes more of a problem is when it affects sleep. So if you're not able to sleep when everybody else is sleeping and, you know, the time is available, then that can be, you know, a sign that you need some extra support.
Yeah, I had a colicky baby, and I'm pretty sure she cried for about a year straight. I'm glad that we were good friends with our neighbors. Otherwise, they'd have probably called the authorities on us, because my daughter was a screamer. And so I totally understand what you're talking about. I mean, sleep definitely comes, there's not much of it happening. And my immediate thought when you said you never know when that little human being needs something, my answer was for about a year, all the time. I mean, it was all the time.
Yes.
So when we're talking maternal mental health, this is an umbrella term, right? I mean, it covers a lot of things.
It does, yes. It does. So perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, depression and anxiety are the most common and basic of the perinatal mental health disorders, but there's also a mom can also experience OCD symptoms either during pregnancy or after pregnancy. That is more serious, and really that mom really needs extra help and support from her, not only her medical community, but then, you know, the rest of her community as well, and support system. And then some moms can experience post-traumatic stress disorder, and that also needs more support and help, as well as postpartum psychosis is very, very rare, but it can happen. So 1 in 1,000 women can develop that after having a baby, and that's a medical emergency that mom needs to be, go to the hospital immediately and get help and support.
Yeah, this is something that's very important, of course, to talk about, be aware of, and more common than in general, I think, than people realize. Kelsey was saying 1 in 7 women go through some of these struggles, 1 in 10 men. And so when we're talking about health and wellness, we often talk about risk factors in general. Is there anything like that here, mm-hmm. Kelsey, or is this just we don't know who and when this is going to hit?
So postpartum depression and anxiety, it can cross, you know, all lines. It really is not selective. So it can happen to anybody, even if you've never had a mental health challenge in the past. But there are also risk factors. So if somebody has a pre-existing mental health diagnosis, that can be a risk factor. Somebody who's experienced trauma in the past, people that are like teen pregnancies, parents that have experienced a loss, the pregnancy loss, puts them more at a risk of developing these. And then another factor, too, is just your support system and your relationship. So if you perceive that your support system is pretty weak and your relationship with your partner is not the best, that is also another risk factor as well. And there's many, many out there of risk factors.
We're talking this morning about maternal mental health. We've got registered nurse Kelsey Kyle on the line, and we've got just about a minute and a half left with her. And it's just, this is something that you might not see happening if it's happened to you, if you're inside the situation. So something that's going to be really important for friends, for families to be watching for. It can be a sensitive thing, a touchy thing, but to not bring it up is not the right answer. Avoidance is not the way to go here. So, Kelsey, if this is you listening out there having an issue, if it's a friend or family member, what should they do? Who should they call? Who should they talk to?
Yeah, so first of all, I just like to say to anybody out there struggling anymore with dads, but you're not alone, and there's help. And the best thing to do is to connect with a medical professional that you trust, have a good relationship with, be able to just really talk about what's going on and then talk through the different options. Many people get better just by increasing their social support. Some women need the help of some medications, and some also need the help of some therapy. And there's just different options on what might work for somebody, and everybody's situation and story is a little bit different.
Registered nurse Kelsey Kyle, our guest on Coffee Break this morning, and just reiterating, I mean, if these are issues that you have, if a friend or family member has, it's okay to reach out, and it's necessary to reach out. So, Kelsey, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us this morning. I sure appreciate it. It's an important topic, and I'm glad that we spent some time talking about it. But that's all the time we have to talk about it this morning. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.